How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 115 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder to subscribe to the podcast there and leave a review once you're on that page. Find us on audioboom.com as well and log on to normantranscript.com to check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site and you can see all my Thunder coverage there. I always say at this point, I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday, and that is true, but this week, I mean, the last week I know I was off for one day for the holiday. I did a four-day week last week, and this week, so yesterday I was supposed to have a show. I had technical issues. Tomorrow now I will tell you I'm actually not going to have a show for Wednesday like I normally do. So today is a Tuesday, Thursday, Friday week. I promise once I'll be getting back, they play Charlotte on Wednesday night. After the Charlotte game, I'm going to be podcasting after that, just like I'm doing after the Bucks game tonight. I'll have a show up for Thursday, for Friday, and then next week back to the totally normal schedule, just Monday through Friday, as always. So I will say, usually Monday through Friday, I'm on every week, but I'm not quite on every week this week, so I can't be that dishonest. I did mention the Bucks game. The Thunder just lost to the Bucks 98-94. They're now 21-14 on the season. The Bucks improved to 17-16. They're way better than their record, though. Net rating over 3 points per 100 possessions. They're outscoring their opponents. Top 10 in defense and in offense. Giannis is top 15 player for sure. I think you can argue he's been top 10 this year with the way that he's playing on both sides of the ball. Jabari Parker is really good. They play defense. They score. They're versatile. They can go big. They can go small. I mean, that's just Jason Kidd's a pretty good coach. Sean Sweeney's a great defensive coordinator as well. That's a good team. Like that team is not going to be. I have a feeling that team, right now, they're jumbled in with that, like, mosh of Eastern Conference 500 teams, that group of teams that are all within one or two games of 500 in the East. They're with the Indianas of the world and the Chicagos and the Atlantas and all those teams. I think they're going to finish ahead of those teams. I think the Eastern Conference, obviously, you got Cleveland and Toronto 1-2 right now. You got, I think, Charlotte and the Celtics following. I think Milwaukee's going to end up getting that five. I think they're that good. I think they're going to end up winning something in the mid-40s. They look like they're trending in that direction. Even if they've been hovering at 500 this whole season, just with what the point differentials and the talent on that team show, I think this is a mid-40s team. So not a bad loss for the Thunder by any means, losing to a good, young, athletic team on the road, a team that is as fun as any other team in the league to watch. I mean, that was a really fun game. That was one of the better games of the year. Best game of the year, I think, on the Thunder schedule, which I think was the game at Boston. Watching Russ and Isaiah just duel out in that fourth quarter was awesome, and that was such a well-played game. But this was a fun game, and Milwaukee's always involved in fun games. They play close games. They're really, really fun team to watch, and the Thunder are a fun team to watch, too. So that was a good one. Westbrook, 30 points, 7 boards, 6 assists. Adams, 20 points, 8 boards. Oladipo had 18, 5, and 4. Ball movement really became a problem in the second half. Thunder had 224 passes in that game, and I put that in my game story after the game. I know I've said on this podcast, and I've said in normal conversations, and just at a lot of points in my life that I think total passes, just as a way to evaluate offenses, it's an irrelevant stat. But when I say that, I say it's an irrelevant stat without context, so I do want to provide some context. The ball movement really went to crap in the third quarter. Russell Westbrook put up a lot of bad shots. A lot of those pull-ups that we've seen, the offense went really stagnant. It went no pass and a shot, one pass and a shot, which is fine. I mean, look, sometimes that happens on the road. You're tired. The Thunder have had, I know they just had, you know, they're coming off an off day, but coming off New Year's. They're going on the road. They're preparing for an even longer road trip. They get off to a really hot start. They're playing a really athletic team. It's totally excusable. But they started off this game 11 for 11, which was crazy. I didn't know if they were going to miss the entire game. Anyway, once they did, they started missing a lot. They were 37% from the field after they started 11 for 11. Get some Twitter questions in a second. Before we do, I just want to tell you guys about BetDSI.com. It has a great NBA special. You can sign up today, and you can get $10 to try their free service. And BetDSI is offering 100% bonus on your first deposit. It's got great customer service. It's fast and easy payment of winnings. Hundreds of football wagers, basketball wagers to choose from. You can also get UFC and other sports, and BetDSI even has live in-game wagering on football, basketball, and other major sporting events. You can play virtually everything at BetDSI. Just go to BetDSI.com now. That's BetDSI. Go there now and use promotion code THUNDER10. That's all one word, THUNDER10. Go there now to get your free wager, put in THUNDER10, and start winning today.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So some Twitter questions. I'll take a few. Usually I take about two of them, but I'm going to take some more today since I unfortunately did not have the show yesterday, which I felt bad about. I had technical issues yesterday. There was internet issues in my, like there was a Cox internet outage in my whole area. And I wasn't able to upload. And I was supposed to have a guest on, and that obviously fell through because I couldn't use Skype because there was no internet, and then I wasn't able to upload it, and then I wasn't able to get that done. So today, we've got a podcast today. First question from Johnny Ellison. Why do Russ and the offense stop looking for Steven Adams in the fourth quarter and in clutch time? Adams was 7-for-7 in the first half. He was 2-for-4 in the second. This is a good question. It's an important question. I think I'm going to write an article on it this week. It's interesting. I wrote a similar thing about Serge Ibaka when I first got on the beat during the postseason last year about how the Thunder got away from Ibaka late in games. And Ibaka's usage was always low. But there was a point in the postseason, the point when I wrote that article, Ibaka's usage rate in the postseason in the fourth quarter was like 5%. It was like comical how low it was. Possessions were never ending with him. He was irrelevant offensively. In terms of finishing possessions, he was finishing one out of every like 20 Thunder possessions. That was it. With a shot or a turnover. I mean, that's all usage is. And his usage was like 5% or something like that. Crazy. Adams is obviously not that low. It's not going to be that low in the regular season. But just to back up Johnny, so we can say that his statements are not baseless, and they are not. He is absolutely correct. Here's Adams's usage breakdown by quarter. First quarters, he's at 19.7% usage. That just means that 19.7% of Thunder possessions with him on the floor are ending in a shot for him, or a turnover him putting up a shot and getting fouled. So 19.7% usage in first quarters, goes down to 17% usage in second quarters, goes down to 16.3% usage in third quarters, goes down to 12.5% usage in fourth quarters. So Johnny, you are absolutely correct in that Adams' usage is going down. And it happened again, 5 shots in the first quarter, 7 shots at halftime, 4 shots in the second half. It fell off. It happens a lot. It's not just the post either. That was the thing. The Thunder were not working it to Adams really in the post early tonight. It worked. He actually had a really nice post move on a score, but that wasn't what it was. I think they run pick and rolls early, and they don't have these breakdowns available on NBA.com. I wish they did. They have play frequency and that kind of stuff, and you can see how often teams run pick and roll, how often teams run isolation, how often they're in transition, all that stuff. And you got to take those numbers with a grain of salt, because a lot of types of plays are misclassified. And not just that, but it's how many possessions end in those sorts of plays. So, you know, if you run a pick and roll and it gets thwarted, and you run another pick and roll and it gets thwarted, and then it turns into an isolation possession with 5 seconds left on the clock, that's an isolation, and the pick and rolls don't count. So, you know, those sorts of things. There are other things too. Like according to that data, you can't dribble into a post up. If you dribble into a post up, it counts as an isolation. A post up has to be caught. A ball has to be caught within 12 feet of the basket. That's a weird thing. So, like, those numbers are off. But something that I'd love to see is the Thunder's frequency and running pick and roll quarter by quarter. Because I bet you that goes down. I bet you that goes down. I think they're running a lot less pick and roll throughout games. And I think that has to do with Adams. Now, teams are, early in the year, teams were pulling over weak side defenders hard to check Adams in the lane. Whenever they run pick and roll, they'd often have at least both guys focus on Westbrook, and they'd pull over a weak side defender from the corner. That was often Oladipo's corner or Anthony Morrow's corner. Maybe it was Andre Robertson's in some scenarios. If it was Robertson's, obviously they're pulling over that weak side guy. But they pull him over, they have him check Adams in the lane. And it wasn't happening as much with Anthony Morrow, even though Morrow's shooting a bad percentage this year. He's shooting under 30% from three, which is obviously very uncharacteristic for him. And something that I don't think will sustain. I think it'll come up if he gets the playing time to get him there. I think it will come up. But guys still, you know, don't want to help off Anthony Morrow because a lot of that stuff is based on reputation and you know, if guys have burned him in the past and all of that. And Morrow's you know, the quickness of his release obviously has something to do with it too. Guys are giving it. Guys lately though, since they started starting Morrow. Even since Oladipo came back, we haven't seen teams as much, as heavily, pull over that weak side defender. And I think Russ has found Adams in those pick and rolls early. But as games go on, Billy Donovan talks about this a lot. Russell Westbrook is reading a defense, and he's figuring out ways to exploit it throughout a game, and he's basically filing away these possessions as data throughout a game, figuring, all right, they did this. He's playing a match game, right? They did this when I did this. Now I remember that. So next time I do this, I remember they're going to do this. And I think the way Russell Westbrook is wired, he's a scorer. Look, he's a great passer. He's a scorer, though. I don't think anybody in their right mind would say otherwise. And I think when he's filing away that data and he starts figuring that kind of stuff out, he goes more into score mode. And he doesn't find Adams as much on those pick and rolls later. I don't think it has as much to do with the post-ups, because to be quite honest, I'm not a huge fan of the Steven Adams post-ups. Every once in a while, sure, I'm down for it. He has some good plays on him. But almost no matter how good Steven Adams is on post-ups, unless you're using them as a tool to create threes for guys, like, post-ups are inefficient. Anybody see that Dan D'Antoni quote that went viral on Twitter recently? You gotta look that up. I retweeted it from probably 5 days ago, 7 days ago, something like that. It was great. It was hilarious. If you Google Dan D'Antoni analytics story, I'm sure you'll find it. And it was a just unbelievable quote, and it made me so happy reading it. I was laughing. I actually laughed out loud at the line. I wasn't finished with my damn analytics story. It's so funny. You got to look that up if you have a solid, like, 2 minutes of free time and you're a basketball nerd. It's really worth it. But Dan D'Antoni went on a rant about the inefficiency of post-ups. And post-ups are great if you're using them as a tool to create for other things. And the Thunder did that a little bit in the first quarter. Look, they were doubling Adams. Milwaukee was in the low post. And the Thunder gave him the ball low, and he found Russell Westbrook for a three on the left wing. And that was actually one of their early baskets when they had that 11-for-11 start. Now, I'm fine with that kind of stuff, but in terms of getting Adams the ball throughout games, I think it's something that Westbrook does get away from, because I think when he reads the defense, he reads it in a way for him to score. Which is okay. But I also do agree. I think you can tell from the way Johnny phrased the question, he thinks Adams needs to get the ball more throughout games. And I do agree. I think getting him involved is important. Because they get Kanter involved. And I think they need to get Adams involved throughout too. He's a good finisher down low. And he's a good pick and roll diver. And I've made this point on the podcast, and I've credited the Down to Dunk guys for this because they said it first. Steven Adams should be a lot higher up in the league leaders in screen assists. He's a guy who should be finishing a lot more in the pick and roll. He's a guy who should be opening up guys more for screens. I think that has something to do with it too. I don't think the Thunder use him as a screener quite well enough. And I think it gets exploited later in games. In the fourth quarter in particular, the Thunder run a lot of isolation stuff. So that just kind of doesn't do well for Adams. So there are a few reasons for it. It sent me into like a 6 minute ramble. But I agree. That's something the Thunder needed to work on moving forward, because it certainly happened. Adams was hot early. He had his touch. He had his moves. He was finishing. He was finding space down low. he was doing everything. And he's a legitimately good offensive player, and he can help, and he can be a higher used player. And they're not using him as a high used player now. He doesn't have to be a gluttonous player, but he can be a higher used player than he is right now. Next from Drinking Tea. What's it like following the team on the road, especially with this hectic January schedule? So they're in 16 out of 21 on the road overall right now, which started at the end of December. I forget exactly what they're at right now at that point, but they've got 12 road games in January, 3 home games. I'm going to 9 of them. I wasn't in Milwaukee, so I'm going to 9 out of the 11 that are in January. I'm not going to Charlotte. I'm meeting them in Houston. I'm missing the Minnesota game on January 14th as well. Otherwise, I'm going to all the other ones in January. What's it like going on the road? You know, I'll tell you what. One of the things that I've really learned since becoming a beat writer is how hard NBA travel is. And you think about it, like, you're not stupid. You realize that being on a plane every 4 days is exhausting. But until you do it, man, it is so tough. January is going to be rough. Like, I'm on a plane. I was telling this to one of my friends the other day. Like, I'm going through this. I am on a plane January, at least one. I connect too. So I'm on an airplane January 5th, 6th, 8th, 10th, 14th, 16th, 17th, 19th, 22nd, 24th, 26th, 28th, 30th, and February 1st. I'm on a plane basically every other day for a month. That's really hard. That's a hard lifestyle. And the players are obviously doing that too. And they got a couple extra games scattered in there that I don't. Now, obviously, they're flying charter. They're staying in 5-star hotels and whatnot. But man, that's tough. They got to play basketball games. And I think it's something that you really appreciate. You can kind of tell, like, when you're tired, that's kind of when they're tired. So it's something you kind of learn once you get on it. And it's something that I'm trying to learn how to convey. How to really explain well, like with my own experience, you know? So it's something that I'm kind of trying to do in that sense. Next one, which is kind of related, from RW019. What do you see OKC's record being like after the hard schedule month? Look, the loss to Milwaukee was fine. I didn't necessarily expect the Thunder to win this game. They didn't play badly. I haven't talked about it yet, but they played a strong defensive game against Milwaukee, I thought. Look, the offense struggled. They didn't move the ball well, but something I didn't mention and probably should have is that the Bucks are so long. They're so damn long. Like, they have so many guys who are just all arms. And that's what they do defensively. They cover up passing lanes. It's hard to move the ball against them. It makes sense that the Thunder would struggle to move the ball against a team like that. That anyone would struggle to move the ball against a team like that. Like, that's what Milwaukee's really good at defensively. And that's like Sean Sweeney. I mentioned Sean Sweeney. He's, one of Kidd's assistant coaches. That's like his forte. That's his thing. He's great. He's great at scheming for passing lanes and that kind of stuff. Like, he put together this uber aggressive defense 2 years ago, which was, I think Milwaukee was third in defense 2 years ago and really fell off last year. They've really recovered this year. But when they were third in defense 2 years ago, Sean Sweeney basically put together this insanely, insanely aggressive defense. They were switching on everything at the time. Now, it's amazing how much the league has progressed in the last 2 years, because now it's not insanely progressive. It's kind of what everybody wants to do. People call it a Warriors thing. Sean Sweeney was doing it 2 years ago with the Bucks in a way that was maybe more aggressive than the Warriors are doing their small ball with Draymond Green and how they kind of like to switch everything. But the Bucks were really trying to do that a couple of years ago. And it makes it hard to get passing lanes and to get comfortable, and they're swarming and they're athletic and they're long. So that's certainly something. That was a fine loss. It was okay. They played a good defensive game. Adams played well. Robertson played well. Giannis was incredible. Look, I think if the Thunder come out of this thing, they're 21-14 right now. I think if the Thunder come out of this thing, 27-22, 26-23, they're fine. Like, I think they'll still be in contention for a 6 seed in the West if they do that. And I think that's probably where they'll be. I think some of these wins that they've had in the last couple of weeks when they've been playing, in my opinion, really good basketball. I think some of these wins, they're going to look back and be really happy with them. The Miami game, they should have won. New Orleans game, they should have won, even though those were on the road. Minnesota, obviously, they should have won. But, a couple of wins over Boston, especially the one that was in Boston. That's an impressive win. Those are both impressive wins. Some of the good teams that they've beaten of late, you know, those are big deals. That they're going to look back on that and say, okay, well, now we're, they're going to say we're now five games over 500, and they'll be happy with that. I think they'll be okay with that coming out of this thing, 27-22, and I think they only have two home games in all of February, so they've got time to recover, and they've got a long break for the All-Star break too. So I think they're going to be something in that 26-27 win marker, and I think they'll be okay with that. Finally, from WrestleMania00, will Giannis be the best player in the league if he develops a consistent jump shot? Good question. I don't think he will, but he'll be damn close. He's amazing, isn't he? Man, if you watch the game, he is already amazing, and he is 22 years old. He has made such a leap. Most improved player this year, I think. I don't know. I don't know who it would be if it's not him. Because, man, he was good last year. He was certainly good. Second half of the year, the last, 29 games or something, he averaged over 7 assists a game, and people were talking about, oh, look at him, he's a point guard, look at how well he's playing. But now, this is like a different animal. He's averaging 2 blocks and 2 steals, too. Like, only guys ever to average 2 blocks and 2 steals? They're like, these are like Hall of Famers. This is David Robinson and Hakeem Olajuwon, and I guess Gerald Wallace did it. So not exclusively Hall of Famers. But Gerald Wallace, underrated defensive player, really, really good defensive player. And somebody else, oh, and Bobby Jones did it. These are NBA legends who are putting up these numbers, and Giannis is right there right now. 2 blocks, 2 steals. And it's not just the blocks and steals, which are arcane ways to measure defense. I think you can use that as a way to do it, because so few people have done that. And you look at the other names who have done it. It's not like just anybody can do it. Kirilenko almost did it. It's not like just anybody can do it. So I think you can use that. But even if you want to ignore it, and that's fine. Look at what he does for the defense, his defensive versatility, the way they basically play him as a point guard on offense and a backline defender on defense, a rim protector on defense, a guy who can switch on to everybody. He's going to become an all-defense caliber guy, a top-notch facilitator. He's clearly unbelievable around the rim, clearly unbelievable finishing around the rim, an unbelievable athlete. His body is filled out unbelievably. He's so much bigger than he was when he first came into the league and he was scrawny. He's got a lot of Kevin Durant in him in some ways. He is amazing. I think he's a top 15. He's all-NBA right now, I think. I think he's probably all-NBA right now. And he's 22. If he develops a jump shot, I don't know. LeBron's going to age at some point, right? He'll age at some point. Look, there are other guys who are going to be right there with him. Anthony Davis will be right there with him, I think. Although I think he's going to be a better defensive player than Anthony Davis. I don't think Anthony Davis is the defender that a lot of other people do. But Anthony Davis will be right there with him. If we're talking about, just guys his age, Karl Towns will be right there with him. But man, he's something. He is, we'll see how much longer Durant has his prime, how much longer LeBron does. Eventually Chris Paul will age. Eventually Russell Westbrook will age. Giannis has got, he's 6 to 10 years younger than all those guys. Curry, 6 to 10 years younger than all those guys. So maybe he will. I think maybe he falls a few slots short, but he could be a first-team All-NBA guy for sure. Kawhi, I didn't talk about Kawhi. Kawhi's a guy who'd get up there too. But yeah, he's amazing to watch. And you know what? He did not play an amazing game against the Thunder. He did play a great game against the Thunder, especially in those last 3 quarters. But he didn't play an amazing game by his standards. Like, he had 30, 10, 7, and 7 blocks in the game before this one. This is just what he does every night now. He's just this good now. You can remember, this is again where I say I'm on every weekday, and I am normally. But reminder, not going to be on tomorrow. Back again on Thursday for the normal schedule after that. And after that, it's just all free-flowing. But you can head on to iTunes, subscribe to Locked On Thunder there if you have questions or comments. Email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FREDKATZ. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs and check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. That's going to do it for today. Back Thursday, off tomorrow. Thursday, it's all smooth sailing. So Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, everything. I'm all good again. I'm back forever now starting then, or at least through the end of the season. Maybe if I get the flu, give me some leeway and give me some time off. But I'm feeling fine now. Until then, until Thursday, Lockdown Thunder is locking up.